Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, welcome everyone to Angel Talk. We have a wonderful show here for you. It's going to be titled Nephilim and the Rebellion Against God's Law. That which occurs for good and woe upon this earth must first or simultaneously occur in the spiritual realm. And even those wars throughout history were first a spiritual rebellion. So history continues to repeat itself. And we will even cover battles that are happening presently in the spirit realm. So as the cycles continue, we will see them materialize on the earth. But if the consciousness of humanity holds to the ideal, I am my brother and sister's keeper, the possibility exists that we could change the outcome. So join us for another exciting Angel Talk radio show sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing.
You know, Sandy, it's very interesting because, you know, it can't be any better said, I don't think, than that which occurs upon the earth must first occur in the spiritual realm. And so if you have a war that's raging on the earth, it has to be raging in the spiritual realm also. And if you wish to create something in your life that's good, then you have to do it in the spirit realm first. And it must be done in a oneness with the will of God and in the law of God. Because if it's not, then it will take on all of the things that are of the demonic forces. And then it will appear, but it cannot last. It will be destructive. It will cost you. It will even bring harm to your family. And so we have to be sure that as we're walking our spiritual path and we give our lives to God, we give everything that we have to God, and it's all His anyway. It was created through Him, and we give our will to God. Because it's the only way that we can know and stay upon the path. Because we do not know God's will for tomorrow. We may think, and many do think they know, but they believe that all they have to do is just believe that Christ was the Son of God, and that He came and died for our sins and was resurrected after 3 days. But in reality, if you look at Jesus walking on the earth, you know, He came upon those people that were possessed by demons. And when He did, the demons recognized Him, and they even proclaimed Him as the only begotten Son of God and asked Him not to hurt them. So they believed in Him. It didn't mean that they had, you know, a life in heaven to wait for or to, you know, just hang out for, you know. So it tells you that faith is not passive. It can never be passive. It has to be active. Faith without works is dead, it says in the Bible. So it's telling us that we have to now stand up because we are in a very critical and crucial time frame. And if we don't stand up and be counted and speak the truth and walk the truth in integrity, you know, it doesn't do any good to walk your path half the day and keep your eyes on Jesus, on the Christ, which will keep you from sinking beneath the waves as it did Peter, as Jesus walked upon the water, and Peter did too, so long as he kept his eyes on Christ. But too easily, we jump to the other track to finish out our day and finish it out in whatever way we find necessary. Doesn't matter if it costs somebody else for us to prosper. Doesn't matter if we take this from somebody else. It doesn't matter if we do things that are causing or creating disturbances in another's life because it does matter. And that is the other track. And we can switch to that track so easily without even a second thought. Excuse me. Without even a second thought that we can finish out the day thinking that, oh, no, I stayed on my path all day. Well, we have to really, really, you know, ask ourselves, if I were standing before the throne of God and God were to ask me, what did you do today? You know, at the end of it, would you be able to answer, everything I did was to walk in your will, to make sure that what came to me and I desired, you knew about, and if you blessed me with them, I gave you the credit and the glory for it, for that blessing. And I didn't stray from the path. I didn't step over to the other track at some point just because I wanted something that I saw from over here. And it's when you want something, don't look left, don't look right, look straight ahead and keep your eyes on Christ. And that will keep you, you know, from sinking beneath the waves, because otherwise it's just too easy to get pulled away. You know, it's been said the dragon is the beast, and it is in full force right now as we speak across this earth, and it is in the spiritual planes. You know, the satanic forces are also at full force, and they are attempting to embody whole nations, whole countries, to war against each other, because it's in the war that the dragon can conceive that it could be victorious. It has not been victorious yet. It believes that it can be, if it can turn God's children against each other, one nation against another nation, or one block against another block, one city against another city. And that is what it boils down to. And all it wants is everything that is God. It wants to take everything that is God's. It knows it cannot defeat God. It can never even come close to defeating God. And yet it feels that if it can just take what is God's, or it can take and control those lives of the children of God, you know, then it is victorious. And it will consider itself victorious. But it has never been able to completely do that. It has come close, but it has never been able to do that. And because God steps in, and it is our time to be able to stand up for God and say, no more. When you think that Noah took 120 years to build the ark, and he preached every day from the side of that ark as he's pounding in the nails and putting the pieces of wood on, and framing it, this massive ark, you know, he's preaching to the people, and they're laughing and scoffing and making fun of him, until the day that it starts to rain, and it continues to rain, and then they're beating on the sides of the ark wanting in, and there was no room for them, and they were not let in, and they were swept away by the floods. And it's simply that easy. Do we scoff at what the scriptures tell us, or do we take them at their face value? Do we say, you know, this is God's word, and if I truly want to be saved and want to be a child of God and want to be continue to live even in an elevated consciousness above and beyond this earth, then I must follow the laws of God and not let the serpent or the dragon become victorious, and not be a part of that victory, even if it's one that he moves to his side, an innocent one, typically, you know, then we cannot just stand by and allow that to happen. We have to do everything that we can to make sure that no matter what they throw at you next, that you can see that that would never be God's way. And I know you want to talk a little bit about who the Nephilim were and are.
Okay, let me just do a short little prophecy here for you all, and then we'll go into the Nephilim, okay? We are in a time when our love for the Lord must be put first and foremost in our mind and heart, For it is a time of great temptation, and discernment must be applied, and our ego for self-desires set aside. If the material desires overweigh the spiritual purposes, then the likeliness of your turning away from your spiritual path will be high. If the darkness can find a weakness in you, it will attempt to sway you in its direction. The more light you hold, the greater the gain of the darkness, if it could steal your light. It is a time where our emotions will be tested, causing most people to feel out of control, acting out anger, fear, envy, greed, and more. You must keep your focus on God and ask for His help. Hold a higher moral standard. The more people that Satan can conquer, the easier it is for his victory. So when you are one with God, you are protected. And when more anger occurs, more warlike activity will happen. And it will spread across more countries. The Bible predicts many things in the end times. The earth changes are going to increase. The earth plates are shifting and pushing towards the oceans on each coast. The west coast is moving faster than the east coast. The winds will soon become more intense, far more worse than last year. Fluctuations in temperature will continue throughout the end of the year. The solar winds and flares will continue to get larger. You are already seeing X-class, they are going to grow. One may see extreme heat, and then a cooling, then lots of rain. Then it repeats itself, and this will continue through the summer, fall, winter season. Extreme flooding will continue around the globe. More meteors and fireballs will be seen in the city. You will see unusualness in the air, colors in the sky. Objects may appear and disappear. There shall be lots of anomalies that will happen. One must always know that through all of this, keep your faith and trust in God, and know He will hear your prayers. And blessings to you.
Absolutely. One thing I want to remind everyone, too, and we learned this, you know, many years ago, but we would gather for prayer, and we would gather, you know, other people that would wish to come, and we would have, you know, prayer and ask for, you know, prayer for different people who were in ill health or locations around, you know, our cities, our towns, you know, our planet even, you know, and pray for, you know, God to intervene in those situations so that there could bring peace and quiet to those people, because there are many innocents that are involved, you know, in some of these areas where like activities begin to explode, and you know, they have no reason to be included except that they happen to live there. And that's how you know that it's not of God. It's never God's way to do things in that way. And we have, in some ways, forgotten that. You know, we look at what happens with a guy who shows up on the street and he has a, you know, semi-automatic weapon and he just starts shooting people at will. You know, and people that are hiding behind things, he goes and finds them and he shoots them. I mean, this is not God's way. You know, this is the way of the dragon, and it is to put fear into the people. And the people must stand up. We must stand up and take the rightful place that we were born into this world to take. If you were not meant to do something great or to be great, then you wouldn't be here on this planet at this time. And if you are, then you're here because God wishes you as his children to take up his plan and his creation and hold on to it and say, this is God's, and you cannot take it just because you want it to those dragon forces or to the satanic forces. But we would find that when we would pray outward, that there would be a cult that would gather down the street, and they knew what time we would do our prayer services, and they would actually were actually able to capture that energy out of the air and twist it and turn it around and use it in the wrong way. And so it is on our planet now. Isn't it backwards? Isn't it the inverted angel that is spoken of and shown in, you know, in some of the ancient histories? And it is the inverted angel or the inverted, you know, what you see around you. Everything is inverted. And it's a lie sounds like the truth, and the truth sounds like a lie. And what has been, they will try to bring back in some way, shape, or form to be able to bring back what they thought at one time they almost had it working or almost worked to allow them victory. It didn't, but in their minds, it did. And they think that if they can bring back those things that brought fear into the hearts of mankind or humankind, that they can get them to jump the ship or jump the track onto the other side, which is their side, which is the side of the darkness. And it's not going to save you from anything. If anything, it's just going to be, you know, your destruction that occurs from it. And stay with God. You know, keep with God. Keep your eyes on Christ and don't take them off of him throughout your day. And ask that your day be surrounded by the Christ Spirit and that it guides you in every way, shape, or form and in everything you do. And if you're to have something or you have a need, God already knows it anyway. Praise him for reacting or for producing what it is that you need. And you don't even have to ask. The reason why you would ask is so that upon the schemes of time, it will be heard by many civilizations, you know, as it is spoken, as we see it spoken in the scriptures today. But God already knows what you're coming to him for. And, you know, and if you praise him for already giving it to you and you place your will in his, then he will lead you into everything that you could possibly need. That has always been God's way. And if you jump the ship because somebody tells you or something influences you that, no, over on this side, look, there's 3 extra ears of corn on every stalk, you know, and there's much more to eat. And so that has to be God. No, it does not have to be God, you know, because the stalk of corn, if planted right and blessed, will produce what it needs to produce and, you know, and never in an abnormal way. So miracles have never been that which has produced spirituality. It just didn't. Even in the Hebrews, it saw, miracle upon miracle, you know, right before the Exodus. And yet when they got to the other side of the river, you know, they first started complaining almost instantaneously of God that we had stayed in Egypt because now we're thirsty and we're going to die here in the desert. But they had seen the manifestation of God. And yes, so easily we forget.
Uh-huh. They have. Now, with the Nephilim, okay, according to the Bible, the giants, they've existed since the beginning of man. And there are many written records of individuals in the excess of 8 feet tall. You know, they existed before the flood of Noah's day. Now, the Hebrew word Nephilim in Genesis 6:4 means the fallen ones, or causing to fall. The Bible reveals that some giants were human and some were angelic beings, where others seem to be a biogenic hybrid. The word for giant is translated from the Hebrew and appears in King James Version in a number of forms. They are the Nephilim, they are the Rephaim, they are the They're also Anakin and also the Zuzim. And so on the giants, they were embodied in every culture around the world, and they're in the legends of the old. Now, the Rephaim, okay, these giants lived at the time of Abraham and Lot, and they were a race of giants in Deuteronomy 3:11, it says, that who lived to the east of the Jordan River, okay? The Emim, which is the E-M-I-M, okay? The Emim were another warrior tribe of giants. The Emim had dwelt there in the times past, a people of great and numerous and tall as the Anakins. Then you had the Zuzims, okay? And they were a tribe of giants that Lot's descendants destroyed near Emom, east of the Jordan River. It says that that land allotted to Lot, Abraham's nephew, was also regarded as a land of giants, the Rephaim. The giants formerly dwelt there. Then you had the Anakim giants. Okay, now the Anakim and the Zamzumimim, which is also part of the Zuzims, okay, the Emim, you know, were of the family tree of the Nephilim. Now, the I-M that's at the end of each of these titles, okay, really, it just signifies the plurality of these beings. And when Israel entered the Promised Land, God told Joshua to wipe out everyone from the four tribes. And so that is what happened. But these giants, you know, they ranged in size, but they started at about 8 feet tall. And they existed well into the early times, you know, written in the Bible, until even some after the flood.
It is believed, though, that the flood was a direct result of God, you know, attempting to wipe out, you know, the giant's ability to control, you know, certain areas and certain land masses and things like that. And so it was literally for that reason that the flood was so extensive and so destructive that it was an attempt to wipe out those giants from the earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Jim, do you want to go ahead and start off everything?
Well, I think you're doing pretty good with what you've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Nephilim, you know, part of them came here from areas that we'll call part of the system that is run by what we have described in ancient times or last times as the Archons. And so they came here because in their systems, gold is very important in their survival. And they were looking for planets that contained large amounts of gold that they could take back to their planets. And so one of them that had found that the waters of our oceans contained large amounts of gold within the waters themselves. And they still do. And yet the extraction process of taking the gold out of the water was very extensive. So it proved that it was not going to be worth the time and effort that it would take to extract enough gold from the water. So they decided to do so from the mountains. Oh, gee, what are we doing at this point right now? I think we're in the process of, you know, wiping out the tops of our mountains or the sides of our mountains so that we can get to what? The gold, silver, the precious metals, you know, everything that's inside those mountains, as they did in the beginning. Because as it was in the beginning, so shall it be in the end. And we're right back there again. And gee, those should be signs that we should be noticing. I mean, because they were in the beginning. And so that they found a way to just blast away the mountains and extract the gold that way. And so they did. But it still took many years to extract as much gold as they could, because if you've got the gold there and you don't take it, it's possible something or someone may come behind you and get it. So, you know, they spent years and years extracting that gold in that process. And there were approximately at the first beginning about 50 of them. And they were, so to speak, very large, very big, and not human at all. But they were workers, and yet they had not had to work from the plants they came from like they did to extract this gold. And so at some point they rebelled. By this time, God had created mankind or humankind upon the earth, and humankind began to flourish. And the giants rebelled because they had been here for approximately, 25 to 50 years. And they were tired of the work, number one, and they were tired of not having mates of their own. And so they had rebelled and decided that they were going to take human women as their mates. Well, this was absolutely forbidden from God, because when God created man, he created a specific genetic pattern that would hold a certain amount of light, so that there would be a way of, throughout time, to increase the amount of consciousness or the amount of light within the physical human body in that genetic pattern, to the point that it could at some point ascend from it and out of this system, and that body pattern would be taken to anywhere in the universe that contained spiritual beings who had become lost in worlds of matter. And so, the genetic pattern made all the difference in the world. When you had the giants, so to speak, or the Nephilim or the Raphaim, or the other, Amim, all of a sudden wanting mates, and they started taking human women as wives, then their offspring had a very corrupted genetic pattern, and it was not of God. And so it was said in the Bible, these were mighty men of old, but it doesn't say they were conscious. It doesn't say they were kind. It doesn't say that they were following God's law. It calls them mighty men, and one that maybe one might be afraid of. And so they began to try to enslave humans, to do their work or to be their slaves, so to speak, or they would produce or create beings or monstrosities, so to speak, that were more animal than human to do work and labor as they saw fit. And none of this was within the law of God. And it came to the point where God says he repented that he had created mankind on the earth, because they had been subdued and overtaken by the Nephilims and the Raphaims and the Amims and the Zilohims. And so, there had to be a way of escape made. In the Exodus, the remnants of those giants were destroyed by Joshua and his armies. But it took Moses on top of the mountain, raising his arms into the sky. And at one point, he had to have two of his followers hold his arms up so that he could fight the battle in the spirit realm as Joshua fought it on the ground. If his arms started to fall, then Joshua would start to lose the war on the ground. And they would lift his arms back up, and Joshua began to have victory again. And it's so interesting that we don't even think of what's going on in the spiritual realms. And all we see is what happens on the earth, and think that, well, Satan is on his, on his high horse, and he's convincing people to do things and things that are not of God. And it's clear they're not of God. God is not of a lack of integrity. God is not a God of too little. God is not a God of not enough. God is not a God that forgets who his children are. God is not a God of war, but if you come up against God's children, then one may find God's children being given the ability to protect themselves, their families, and to go up against this dragon that would have its way. And the only way it can have any victory at all, which is, is not a victory in my mind, but is to convince the children of God to come to his side, because he has everything. And yet, you look around you, is really anything real? Is anything going to last? How long is the house you live in going to last? Generations? Doubtful. Is the monetary system going to last forever? Doubtful. Is anything that you see going to last? Doubtful. You know, most things you take out of the box don't even work from the beginning you take them out of. And yet, you see people becoming very wealthy and very well-to-do. And how are they doing that? Well, can you see through the hands of their labor or their work that they are doing it or creating it in a way that is through God's, you know, God's will? Well, if you can't, then there can only be one other answer. There's only two sides to the coin. And if it's not on the side of God, then it has to be on the side of the dragon. And the dragon will do everything it can to create, you know, a false sense of everything. If it's a Jewish holiday that is being celebrated, there will be a like celebration that is done by the dragon or perpetuated by the dragon, and it looks the same. And yet, you'll know the difference, but do we typically, you know, are we ready to accept that, you know, the dragon's way is not the way? It will never be the way, and it will only lead to death and destruction, and God's way will always lead to life eternal, because Christ came that we might have that. And no longer can our faith just be one that says, I believe, because the demons, again, cast out of the man, proclaimed that they believed in him, and yet they were the demons. And it shows you that it's not enough just to believe. You have to act it. You have to have the integrity to act it out, to hold on to it, and to do what you know to be right, not to, you know, have more money or wealth than you have just to have it, you know, and to gain it through a way that is not God's will. It is not God's law. And, you know, and if you do, then you take yourself out of God's will and presence, and you place yourself on the side of the dragon. It is really just that simple. I mean, we see people now, and we must realize that if the giants were here in the beginning, they're going to be here in the end. They are going to come back. How? Well, we have the ability to manipulate genetics. We know that. I mean, science is showing it on TV. I mean, if you watch certain programs, you'll see that they're showing you, you know, different animals that they have bred together, you know, a zebra and a horse, or zebra and a donkey, or whatever it may be, and it's got half stripes, but the other half doesn't. And they're showing you that they have the ability actually to even recreate dinosaurs, because they have found some so preserved that there is some DNA left. And goodness gracious, there's a reason why they don't still walk the earth. And we have to realize that don't play God with genetics. God created mankind in a way so that we could raise in consciousness to leave this system and through the heavens into the many mansions that await us with a new genetic pattern that had not been tried before. And it could literally.
It's true. And you know, Jim, science and technology has produced 150 animal hybrids that were grown in the UK labs.
And the UK, you know, all I can say to the UK is beware, because, you know, as you know, the Britons were an empire, and they spread out all over the world, and the empires are always doomed to destruction. I mean, are the Romans still around? Are the Greeks still around? Are any of the civilizations, the Babylonians, the, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and his groups, I mean, are they still around? No. They eventually destructure or destruct. But, you know, that doesn't mean that they aren't brought back at some point, because somebody believes, well, if I see the mistakes that were made by those groups, and I think if we did it a different way, we could actually prevail. And this is the dragon's, you know, motto. It is what the dragon tries to instill in everything that you see, everything that exists, everything you're told. They're burning the book so you won't know the history. You know, even if the history was somewhat misaligned in areas, you know, there's no reason to burn the books, you know, unless, of course, you don't want people to be able to go back and see what is now occurring has already been, and it did not work. It was not victorious, and it's not going to be in the future. But they don't want you to plan on that. They want you to think that, oh, my goodness gracious, this is beyond what we could imagine. And if you could see somebody who you believe died 10 years ago, and there they are walking down the street, you know, genetics is an amazing thing. It can produce cloning. And we know that cloning has occurred. Science admits it. I mean, it's not a secret, but yet they don't tell you that humans have been cloned. And yet, if they are, they wouldn't have a soul, because only that which God creates has a soul. That which is created by man does not have a soul. And would those clones know that they don't have a soul? Probably not. They're not, probably not of the consciousness to be able to, know that. And so they go about doing what they're told to do. And, you know, there are governments out there that know that a clone would probably shoot its own people, because it doesn't really have the consciousness that God would instill within us, you know, as to, do I shoot a baby, you know, just because it's there? Well, you're going to fight with yourself over it. But, you know, there are times when there has to be enough's enough. You know, we're now faced right now with the issues of Israel. And I cannot imagine why there is such a debate going on in the newsrooms, you know, about whether, you know, Israel has a right to do what it's doing with Gaza, you know, or the West Bank. And, you know, literally, if the city you live in next to you is another city, and it came rushing across into your city and started killing 2,000 people and taking people as hostage and back across their borders, what would you do as a city? My guess is the only thing you could do would be to defend yourselves and go after those people and make sure that they could never do it again. And herein lies the answer. You know, if you look, it was Gaza that the ancient evils were devised against Israel. It was in Gaza that the first intifada was launched against the Jewish nation. It exploded in December 1987. It was on the following, the first day of the uprising and violence, that Hamas was founded. The Palestinian child of the Brotherhood was born in a storm of hatred and rage. And let's not forget that the Palestinian child, but its Philistines, are Hamas. They are not the Palestinians, which are Jordanian. These are the Philistines. And they were a different group. They were really a bunch of thugs, so to speak, that took up residence wherever they chose to, and wherever it was, they created chaos and destruction from where that was. And why did Hamas come into existence? The reason, along with the mission statement, was given in its founding charter in 1988. Central in the charter is the annihilation of Israel. It was all there in the very beginning. In the preamble, where it stated, Israel will exist and will continue to exist until Islam will obliterate it. I mean, that's in its charter that it devised or drew up to enable it to be a considered a, you know, an entity, a legal entity, and desiring to have, you know, its own citizenship, its own statehood. And in that charter, it says those words. It also says, for our struggle against the Jews is extremely wide, ranging, and grave. The Jews took control of the world media, news agencies, the press, publishing houses, broadcasting stations, and others, while they stirred revolutions in parts of the world. Now, this is what is in the charter of Hamas as it seeks to become acknowledged by the United Nations as a its own government, as its own statehood. It calls the Jewish, you know, secret societies that were formed, and that there was no way that it could possibly continue. according to Hamas's charter. They aim at undermining societies, destroying values, corrupting consciousness, deteriorating character, Israel, Judaism, and Jews. It's in the Hamas charter. This is what they have planned since the day they were born into, you know, into their own little statehood. And Israel has allowed them to survive and be, you know, self-sufficient, so to speak, up until now. But they also had the Iron Dome, which was supposed to be able to keep, you know, places like Gaza and the West Bank from being able to infiltrate into Israel to do any harm or real damage. Well, on that fateful night of October 7th, they were able to get past the Iron Dome and kill and take 2,000 hostages or kill that many, you know, in the middle of the night. What would we do if it were on our own border? Would we just say, oh, well, you know, don't do it again? Or would we fire a few missiles? Or would we just go barreling across the border into that state and until we had literally gathered up everybody that we could, that we thought had a part in it, or killed them and destroyed them and moved them from their land so that they were so far back away from us that they could never do it again? I mean, it says, ye shall overcome and thrown together into hell. This is the only way to liberate Philistine or Palestine. And now I will assault and kill, assault and kill, assault and kill. Those words, three times, is listed within the charter of Hamas. And I don't care what you call it. You can call yourselves Hamas if you want. But if you look back through the Old Testament, you will find the word Hamas. And you will find that it actually denotes the Philistines and those beings that were known to be, you know, assassins, killers. And they carry out the dragon's orders. And Israel can no longer sit back and just wait and see if they're going to do something. They did something. And once you do something, well, we can throw somebody in jail once they do something. They can sit outside of a bank all day long and watch the bank. But we really can't do anything to them until they rob the bank. And because it's a world of free will. But here you have, I mean, they have now told Israel that the tunnels are lined with some of the hostages that still remain, but they're surrounded by explosives. And if the Israeli Defense Forces go into those tunnels to try and liberate these people, that they will just, you know, let the explosions go. And it will destroy not only the hostages, but the soldiers that go in there after them. I mean, what kind of a consciousness, what kind of a people, what kind of, you know, of those individuals that are so filled with darkness that this is how they live. This is what they thrive on. This is what the charter that brought them into existence denotes and says. And yet, I mean, how can we fault Israel? It is Israel that must act or react, whatever you want to call it, to what happened, and say they approved that their charter, that this is what they're going to do. And they're going to be supplied by outside forces with lots of money and lots of weapons and hundreds of miles of underground tunnels, which are almost impossible to keep track of. And so we have to remove them from the land. You must remove them from the land that is right on Israel's border, you know, on several sides. I mean, because otherwise, it's just another day they're going to do it again and again and again, because this is their purpose for living. And I mean, when it becomes the only reason for one's life is to create chaos, death, and destruction, then it is allowed in the scriptures by God, it is allowed to take out those individuals that would do so. And one must be sure that that is their only reason, but you know what? Their charter speaks it. It speaks it in full force. And yet, are we really taking it, you know, as truth? I mean, of course we must. Yet we see the teens and those in colleges, you know, protesting what Israel's doing and protesting for the Palestinians. I mean, or the Philistines, I'm sorry, because it's not the Palestinians. They are a different group. These are the Philistines. And again, throughout history, they have been thugs. When Ezekiel had the vision of the dead bones pulling together and rising and marching as an army, it was a vision that told him that even though they were taken out en masse at one point, they will, those bones will rise again, and they will march for only one reason, to annihilate from the earth God's children and God's purposes. And we are as much, you know, responsible as Israel is, you know, as anybody else is who swears that they are God's children, that they believe in the Christ, and that they believe in the truth, the integrity, and that the way they live their lives is a way of integrity. It's a way to say that, you know, I not only believe, but I live it in a way that God would have me live it. And I put my will in His, and He will guide me in the right path. And where I am supposed to be, I will be. What I am supposed to have, I will have. And that, you know, no dragon, no satanic force can take from you. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it never has been. And how often do we gain and we end up, you know, it being taken away in one way or another by somebody else who thinks that they have a right to do so, only because they just think they're smarter and that they have a right. What right is there other than what God's law allows? And if you don't know God's law, I would suggest that one become familiar with it. You know, even if it is, you know, in the book of Acts, and you see how Jesus acted and reacted to those forces that would have come up against him at times. And, you know, and I mean, and it gives us the way, it gives us the truth, and it gives us life in the process. And is there any greater way? And we're coming upon time again, because the fake Jubilee was in 2023. That was the Jubilee of the dragon. And so if you start your 7 years from there, you know, time, times, and a half time, as it says in the book of Daniel, it's not a big secret. I mean, you know, theologians have discussed it and tried to determine what it really means. And it's simple. A time is a year. Times is 2 years. And a half is a half a year. So it's actually 3.5 years from the end of that seven-year cycle. And we are already in that seven-year cycle. So God will end it a half a year early. It is said in the scriptures. And, you know, as a blessing, God will end it a half a year early, because it will be so intense that, you know, many will lose their faith. And we can't afford to do that. And we won't if we know what it means. Look around us and look at what we're having to see and endure and to know and understand that what you see may not be real. It is inverted. And look for the inversion. And if it doesn't have the integrity in it, then it's inverted. If, you know, if you're accused of something you know you didn't do, you know it's inverted. Because, and somebody out there may believe it, but you know what? It doesn't matter. Because you know that your integrity is planted in the right place, in the life and the light of the Christ, you know, in the oneness of God, through the Holy Trinity, which is the Father, the Messiah, you know, our God and Savior, and the blessed Holy Spirit, Shekinah. And the three is one, because they're able to fight the wars in the spirit, but actually also within you to take up the physical through the Christ and the Holy Spirit moving through you to affect change and restoration, even resurrection in the coming days. And but it must come through you, because if it's left in the spirit world, just like the dragon, It doesn't have any power to do anything. But if it can convince people upon the earth to do things that are, you know, not of God, then gee, it is winning a little piece by little piece, and we can't allow that. We have got to come back to the integrity that we know. Not the way it's always been, not the way it was yesterday or 10 years ago or whatever we may believe it should be. It's God's way. And let God show us the way. Put your will in His.
Absolutely. You know, it was asked, what were God's chosen people chosen to do? You know, He talks a lot about the Jewish people. And God chose the Jewish people to make a permanent record of His word, the Bible, the human race. And God chose the Jewish people to bring redemption to the world through the Messiah, Jesus, and to share the message of salvation with the Gentiles. And God chose Israel to be the light of the nations, as Isaiah 60:1-3. And Paul, a devout Jew, proclaimed to the Gentiles, "For so the Lord commanded us, I have set you as a light to the nations, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth." Acts 13:45. And Paul was quoting from many promises of the Old Testament that Israel would bring the truth of the one true God to the people of the earth.
And who are Israel? I mean, we see the nation, we see the Jewish people, but they were scattered across the face of this planet many times. And I mean, put in slavery and everything taken away from them, which is what the dragon does. It takes away. It doesn't give, it takes away. And we, here and now, must stand up, because we probably have within us a piece of that genetic code. And within it is the God force. And it can overcome anything. It doesn't take, you know, a being of 30 feet tall, which some were described as the Nephilim as being that tall. I mean, beds still in existence were 30 feet long and 16 feet wide. Made of iron. I mean, so there's no doubt a being that tall would certainly be a little bit hard to fathom. But, you know, every attempt will be made to bring back those things that brought fear into the hearts of the people. And, you know, and we can't allow it. We just can't. We as a people have the ability to take back what is God's and to hold on to it. And if everything else gets washed away or blown away, does it really matter if we remain a part of God's heart and God's life and His light? You know, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. And what else is there?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Too much advances in science and technology. You know, there's tampering with the DNA. There's, you know, you have cloning and you have stem cells where they're able to do reproductions and you know, of different parts of the body, and you've got artificial intelligence, and when you've and along with a numerous amount of other parts of technology, with all of these things, there is high chance that breeding of some of these Nephilim could be reproduced.
And that's only just one piece of it.
Right.
I mean, when you think of all the things you just mentioned, Sandy, I mean, you know, some of that technology has a self-serving purpose of surviving. And we don't quite know what that means, although we know what it would mean to us to be able to survive. So you have to be able to think that that's what it means when it says it wants to survive at all costs. And, you know, we're coming into that time. When you see somebody on the speaking circuit and you look at them and you go, I'm pretty sure that person died 20 years ago. But there they are, and they look like they did then. Then you question. You have to question. And yet, if you just look the other way, and I thought I remembered that person, you know, I'm telling you that there is the ability to genetically manipulate. And, you know, if governments start doing it, they're going to do it with people that, you know, maybe were seemed good at the time or friendly at the time or did good things for the people. And so all of a sudden, here they are walking the streets again. And nobody's going to claim that, well, it's not a good thing to have those people still out there. I mean, because they did good things. But the clone will not be that person. The clone will only look like that person. It will not have their soul. It will not have their spirit. It will not have, you know, that sense of duty of good to God. You know, it will only have a sense of duty to its creator, whoever that is. If it's a clone, well, it's not God. You know, again, you know, only that which God creates has a soul. And so we're coming into that time frame. Know that if you're on this planet at this time, you were here to do something great. Let yourselves be lifted up by God and follow that path and take your eyes and put them on Jesus and don't take them off and do whatever you're called to do at whatever cost it is. Do it because it's your time and you wouldn't be here if it wasn't. So again, give us a call if you have questions. 304-567-3354 and we'll be glad to try and answer any questions you may have.
And we want to thank you all for listening to Angel Talk, and we do hope that you will join us again in 2 weeks.
Absolutely. And there is a blessing waiting for you. Just ask for it. God has promised that they will give a blessing to anyone out there listening that asks for it.
God bless.
Amen. Amen.